A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 27 June 2021. We shall be continuing with this transcript book of mine, cultivating the Bodhisattva way. We are at page 33. Yeah? We will continue from there. I even told her the moment she understands all these questions that she is asking would be self-answered. That's why the emphasis is always on the cultivation. The moment you are able to develop the cultivation to realize your silent true mind, your awareness nature, when all this has stabilized, you will naturally have the understanding and the wisdom to understand the Dhamma. Then all of the questions that she used to ask, thought-based questions, will be self-answered. So this is a very important advice. Then because of that, the question will be self-answered and the question would cease to be. Because after that, they will just have the understanding to continue with the faith, the sincerity and the perseverance just to cultivate, where that is more important than all the curiosity, question, etc. That comes from the thought. Because the thought is always curious with a lot of funny questioning. They want to know this, they want to know that. But all this has nothing to do with the cultivation, with the training of the mind, with the development of the understanding of the true mind leading to heedfulness. So if you are not intent on cultivation, then technically you're wasting your time. Your question can be asked, but asked with understanding, with the intent to develop understanding, to develop the cultivation. Otherwise, a lot of these questions are thought-based questions. They are based on analysis, reasoning, wanting to know. No point. Sometimes because of curiosity, sometimes because of you find that it's very interesting. Yeah, after you know, you think you can have better knowledge to tell people. But the actual cultivation of Dhamma is not for that purpose. It's for you to develop the understanding, to awaken to the teaching. So to do that, you must learn the teaching, starting off with pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. After you learn, you have to put it into cultivation. Means the cultivation part is most important. That's why you must develop the cultivation and the meditation. If you cultivate with understanding, you progress very fast. If you do not cultivate with understanding, then you will have a lot of questions, a lot of doubt. And you will be wasting a lot of your time because most of this come from the thought. They are thought-based questions. So bear in mind. Yeah? Then after that, she was very happy that I answered her question that way. She showed sign that she has started cultivating and developing the faith. What she wrote later was so different from what she had written a year ago. So she wrote to me again. She wrote this: "Please allow me to clarify in a very good disguised way. Beside Buddhas and Bodhisattva, does it apply to anyone else? I equate anyone else to form a mind as mentioned in your second paragraph," which means she has started to understand, have developed some form of understanding already. That's why the question can come about. "One can be earnestly cultivating for many lives and get connected to the spiritual nature and continue to become enlightened. Take for example an arahant. You see, the question was phrased very well. Then her second question was, going beyond form and mind after Siddhartha Gautama or Sakyamuni Buddha's Parinibbana, can I say that he is the spiritual nature which is the unconditioned? So this is at least a better understanding than the thought. But there is still a he. The spiritual nature which is the unconditioned. Then, of course, she asks again, will he ever exist in the form and mind again? That is a very good question, I said. I will be most sorry. Then she said, I would be most appreciative if you could kindly enlighten me. Then I can move on and continue cultivating with some peace of mind. This question has gone long unanswered and in some way bothering me. So she find it something disturbing her way forward, because she like curious people, wants to know a lot of things before she do. So at least now she can get a better grasp of what this form and mind is, than the spiritual nature, than the karmic nature, and how to differentiate them. But the understanding is still not there. That's why she still has the question. But this time the question is much better. Since she is very sincere, I replied to her. I said, at this point of time, don't try to know. That is a very important advice. And ask too many questions. Because the more important focus is to cultivate. Always bear in mind, if you don't cultivate, all this become knowledge, thought-based, doesn't serve you much. Then when you realize and awaken, after you cultivate, you can actually realize the Dhamma and awaken. Only then can you slowly start to develop the understanding of all this. Regarding your first question, yes, it also applies to anyone who has earnestly cultivated for over many lifetimes, especially those who have already developed some form of stable wisdom before. Like all those great beings, the bodhisattvas. Regarding your second question, try not to get involved. But it's a very controversial topic. According to most interpretation of the text based on what the Buddha has said after his enlightenment, the Buddha's first word after his enlightenment was, which was also in our chanting book, I will read to you the stanza that the Buddha spoke after his enlightenment. Seeking but not finding the house builder, I travel through the rounds of countless rebirth, means samsara. Oh, how painful is birth over and over again. House builder, you have been seen. You shall not build the house again. Your rafter has been shattered and your ridgepole demolished. My mind has attained the unformed, the unconditioned Nibbana, and reached the end of all craving. So many will conclude that this will be his last birth based on their present understanding. And this is especially true for Theravada tradition. But the actual meaning and the actual understanding can be very different, rather complex, and demands a lot of wisdom to develop the understanding. The Buddha's nature eternally exists because it is part of the Triple Gem, and its vows have become a part of nature's law. And for those who know how to connect and develop affinity with it, they will know how to benefit from it. That's why Sakyamuni Buddha asks you to take refuge and develop affinity with the Triple Gem. Hope this helps. But she is very smart because after that, she wrote another email and she said, thank you very much again, Bratio. Apologies. I didn't know question two was a controversial one. I would infer that the Buddha was referring to not being born unenlightened again. Hence, no condition arising from my mind. We are craving born of delusion anymore. She is now wiser because she now understands that the unconditioned aspect is not eliminated. Hence, manifestation in form and mind, independent of the builder, can still occur. It means without craving and without delusion, the form and mind can still come, she said. I think only maybe an unreliable thinking mode here. I told her yes. This is correct. Then she said, the Buddha's first word after enlightenment word is, seeking but not finding the house builder, I travel through the countless birth, means samsara. She repeated Dhammapada verse 153, 154. Then she said, yes, I shall now focus on my cultivation from now on and fully understand when I had the wisdom to do so. May I have the condition to seriously continue the five spiritual faculties and clearly see the house builder to fully understand the ultimate truth. So this is based on her present much better understanding. In that sense, she is very smart because she requested for this. Please give me your blessing, Brother, and thank you. Then I replied to her, I said, dear sister, I rejoice with your new understanding and resolve to focus on your cultivation as from now. And surely my nature will give you the blessing. What you need to be successful are just these three things. Your faith, your sincerity, and diligence or perseverance. The same three advice by Amy Metta always. So these three advice I have been giving to Kayamita maybe on many occasions. Remember, with these three, you can complete your cultivation. You can actually succeed in your cultivation. What you need is just the very, very strong faith, unshakable faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then be sincere to cultivate, to develop the cultivation so that you can awaken, so that you can perfect yourself, then fulfill the need, the 10 perfection cultivation to become Sammasambuddha. So this faith and sincerity is very important. It will prevent you from deviation. If you don't have sincerity, you may go and sidetrack to touch psychic and other things. And finally, it's just diligence or perseverance. When you persevere, you continue to determine to continue cultivating. Don't try to know. Don't try to ask any irrelevant question. Then you will progress. Then there was another Kayamita. There's a sister, I think it's Sister Ellen, if I'm not wrong, who wrote to me earlier on 19 October 2014. She said, today is triple celebration marking a significant milestone relating to you and the Kayamita. It's most inspiring. Note, 19 October was our annual Kayamita gathering. After that, she continued and wrote this. When I struck the grand jackpot of meeting a Dhamma teacher like you, I was pleasantly surprised that it came with a great bonus too. The ready-made, sincere, and rather caring group of Kayamitas all obtained without any effort on my part. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Ayu Ono Sukang Palang. And may all your good and noble wishes come true. I know you do not have much time to read the Attached Sutta before your trip to Anandagiri on the 23rd of October 2014. And after that, you will be off to a Meisan spiritual trip on the 2nd of November 2014. There is no urgency, and please do take your time. My question is in the blue box at the end of the attached file. Sankara Upeka. Sankara Upapati Sutta, reappearance by aspiration. I haven't shared this sutta with you all before. It's a very good sutta that talks about vows and aspiration. It is called Sankara Upapati Sutta. You can vow and make aspiration to be born in any rhyme you want to be. The Buddha actually taught the monk how this can be done. I will start this sutta in the year 2015, next Tuesday onward. Remind me to share this sutta with you all. Then I replied to her. I said, "Dear sister, I rejoice with your sincere gratitude and joy below. Regarding the Sankara Upapati Sutta, it is a very good sutta. And the Buddha did teach the monks at that time as to how they can make use of their faith, their virtue, their merits, their cultivation and wisdom to make aspiration for whatever birth they might want to take or tend towards liberation of mind and to realize Nibbana upon the dissolution of these five aggregates of form and mind, just like what I have been teaching you all this while. You can invoke the power of merits and the power of wholesomeness born of your faith, virtue, merits, and your cultivation and wisdom or your understanding. And then you can make aspiration for causes and conditions for rebirth in any rhyme you want, and even to become enlightened. You can bring about the aspired. Your question is quite similar to the lady from Singapore who asked earlier, which I have forwarded to you for sharing too. Do read the email again to develop a clearer understanding of the topic. Regarding your question about bodhisattva aspiring for Buddhahood and how they can reappear through vows, aspiration or karma, the answer is yes, they can reappear via their respective five aggregates of form and mind through their vows and aspiration make after understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. A bodhisattva aspiring for Buddhahood can reappear through their vows and aspiration, but not through normal karma via rebirth, consciousness born of ignorance, because karma is related to ignorance and the karmic nature, and as an arahant, they have no more ignorance, hence no more rebirth consciousness to condition their rebirth. But when they are the bodhisattvas, it means they must have already made the four basic vow of the bodhisattva just before they realize the arahantship. Then these vows can arise the causes and conditions for them to come back with a pure mind, via love and compassion, born of the first basic vow. Hence, no need for a coming rebirth. So this is a very important point of understanding. Because the first basic vow of the bodhisattva is they vow to liberate and take across all sentient beings in the entire existence or universe. So this one can only be done out of love and compassion for the living beings and sentient beings. And because of that, the vow create the condition for a pure mind to take rebirth. This pure mind is the pure consciousness that you need. But because every bodhisattva or Samasambuddha or all these great beings, they also have their karmic nature. So what you need is a karmic nature to bring forth a form and mind for you to come to this existential world. But the normal being who is not enlightened, who don't have the vow, who don't have the understanding, they can only take one type of birth, rebirth to normal ignorance, avijja paccaya sankhara. So they will continue to take rebirth because of karma, karmic conditioning, because of ignorance, life after life. But for this great being, they know the karmic nature still exists. What they need is just a condition for a pure mind to arise. So this first basic vow of the Bodhisattva is the condition out of love and compassion for the pure mind of love and compassion to arise. It is an understanding. And then because of that vow, it will trigger the karmic conditioning to enable this pure mind to have the condition to integrate with the karmic nature, to arise a karmic form and mind. So this form and mind, the form of course is karmically conditional, whereas the mind is from the vow, the pure mind. So this form and mind that take birth is different from the traditional normal birth of a puttajana or an unenlightened being. Because that one you need avijja. This one no need avijja. The vow can take you along and create the condition for the pure mind to take birth. So what you need is the pure mind. You need a mind to come. So this pure mind, when they come, the Bodhisattva will know. Because when they grow up from a baby or infant, their mind is very pure, no thought, nothing, nothing. I can recall there was nothing until almost the age of 5 or 6, I remember. Then only I start to have the pure perception and all those things. Then later on, condition arise for me to be brought up in an environment which is very different, where I need to go through conditioning. That was when I was about 5 plus to 6 years old before I go to school. So that conditioning actually let me understand how the mundane mind can develop all those conditioning. So that's how I grew up. Then I went to school. Then my karmic nature took me along. And I later on came to know a lot of these things is because of my vows, my past. Otherwise, it cannot be such. I was the only one in the family sent to an English school by my father. The rest are all Chinese school or Mandarin school. We got 9 brothers and sisters. And I'm the second in the family, and it's so strange, it's meant to be. And my father been somebody who actually value education. He chose the best English school for me to attend in my hometown, my state. So because of that, I get to know a lot of people of that status in that school. So I grew up from there. But my village was a very different scenario because it was a notorious small village where the parents don't have any education at all. Most of them, they are illiterate or they may have some little understanding of Mandarin, but hardly any education, especially English education. You know, nobody really speak English in the whole village. And the reason why my father wanted me to attend is because there was a neighbor who had the same child of my age, we decide to go to the same school. And my father's reason is it. We need somebody to understand English so that all the letters from the government, when they receive them, somebody can read it for them so that they can have the understanding. So that was the very simple reason or sincere reason. Then it meshed up with my karmic nature. I supposed to go to English school. Now this life, I supposed to come and help the English educator to develop understanding of Dhamma and all those things, and also the Theravada tradition, and let them understand how the Mahayana tradition and the Theravada tradition is no different. They are from the same teaching. And if you can understand the real teaching, you will understand both traditions. There is nothing special or unique. So that's how it happened. Then as you go through this cultivation, you will come to know how all these are possible. The Bodhisattva way and all those things. Then after I grew up and become what I was, after I came to connect in the year 1989, means at the age of 35, then I look back and I came to know why all this are possible. That's why all of the condition behind my nature's arising, after I connect, I start to recall, and I start to understand all these are impossible unless there is something very, very extraordinary or powerful understanding from the past. All this cannot be what it is. It's like everything already pre-planned, condition, everything set. I used to tell my wife and some came that even allow you to do your own planning for your own life, you can also, you can't plan it the way it's already planned for you. That is the beauty. Then when the time come, all the things that my nature need, they come. That's why at the age of, I think, 1986, 3 years before 89, when I received the message from Kuan Yin Bodhisattva to move fast the cultivation, I just went all out to cultivate. And during that time, very strange. The teacher come, the guide come, my refuge teacher come. Then everything that I need come. So all this like magically fall into place. Then after 1989, when I met my last guy, received the last understanding of the condition, then my nature connect through. That's how my nature recall the past after it connect. Then the understanding which I never learned before this life, they flow back and my nature manifests with the understanding. So cultivation, unless you have gone through, you can never understand how marvelous it is, how wonderful it is, how all these are possible. Because there are so many things that I share and teach you all. I never learned this life, even none of my teachers or guide taught me. There was no book that write about it, a lot of the things that my nature understand. And how is all this possible? Unless there is this behind. That's why finally, when the cultivator or the way, after they have gone through, they have this understanding, they are able to share with the world. But for the normal human being or living being, it's very difficult for them to understand all this. Because these are something that is way beyond their ability to comprehend. To them, it's like, how can it be so magical? And I used to say at times, you may think it's like, sound like fairy tale. Sometimes the actual happening is more fantastic than fairy tale. Actually, it gone beyond fairy tale. A lot of things very strange. Even our website, how it arrives, very strange. Then my house, I normally don't want all these images, how all the images come. Then how conditions set in, how Kayamita come, how I was invited to teach and share and all those things. So a lot of these things is way beyond comprehension of normal living beings. But the nature's law is the nature's law. It is so unique, so beautiful. Unless you have gone through the cultivation, it's not easy for you to comprehend all this. So with this, hopefully those who have the faith, the sincerity and the perseverance, you can benefit from this sharing. It will give you further faith and strengthen your resolve to really strive on with faithfulness to perfect all this understanding. And when your time comes, you will also have this understanding and you can also be a blessing to all. Then when your time comes, you can have your own condition to share, to teach and to do all those things. Then all this will become very beautiful. It will flower. Okay, we go back to the transcript book. Okay, I think I finished page 35. Oh heaven, I think a bit more. Never mind, I read the whole last paragraph again. Regarding your question about bodhisattva aspiring for Buddhahood and how they can reappear through vows, aspiration or karma, the answer is yes. So this one I have control. They can reappear via their respective five aggregates of form and mind through their vows and aspiration, make after understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. A bodhisattva aspiring for Buddhahood can reappear through their vows and aspiration, but not through the normal karma via rebirth consciousness born of ignorance, because karma is related to ignorance and the karmic nature. As arahan, they have no more ignorance, hence no more rebirth consciousness to condition their rebirth. But when they are the bodhisattva, it means they must have already made the four basic vows of the bodhisattva just before they realize arahantship. Then this vow can arise the causes and conditions for them to come back with a pure mind, via love and compassion born of the first basic vow, hence no need for a karmic rebirth. So this one I have explained. Then we go on. Every life they come, they will connect. Unless their form and mind dissolve too early, even if that is the case, he will still know how to cease, because the form and mind will still know how to cease, because I can still remember how at the age of 7 or 8, my consciousness came out, and before the consciousness came out, I was aware how it went through the cessation. At that time, I still don't know how to meditate. I didn't even know what the Dhamma was, but my nature knew how to cease the mind. I could feel the craving force that bind the consciousness to the physical form dissipating first before the random of consciousness came out of my body. Although nobody taught me what sati is or what mindfulness is, but strangely, I knew exactly what was happening inside. Because the awareness nature, that clarity, that true mind, the silent mind, was there. Then I can be aware of the craving force dissipating, dissolving. Then how that trapped consciousness, the random, came out. The awareness was naturally there. And there was absolutely no fear. It's very natural for me, even at the age of 7 and 8. Normally, if the mundane mind is there, it's totally like lost, because before you as a normal human being die, you actually lost your awareness. Then the karma will take over. That's why they don't know what is happening. Sometimes they say, Lao Huan Xiong in Hokkien, Lao Huan Xiong. When you grow old already, your character change, once you in Hokkien dialects. That is, they simply say things like they are not themselves anymore. They are, like their character has become different. Then they see all those funny things. They are no longer in their usual awareness or conscious state, for karma has taken over the karmic conditioning. For most of these beings, if they are heedless, if they have delusion before death, then their karmic subconscious mind will take over. Then karma will decide what happened next. So this first question she asked, I have already answered. Then the second question she asked was, can a Buddha after Parinibbana reappear anywhere via another Nimanakaya? The question, sorry, the answer is yes and no. So this one, you have to listen carefully. Yeah? Depending on the Buddha's nature, the understanding and decision or choice, the Nimanakaya is the karmically conditioned form and mind for that segment of their life, or what they call the functional body that performs the function of whatever being they choose to come with. After Parinibbana, that form and mind of the Buddha will not undergo rebirth immediately, unlike a normal Puttajala or being, where there is no more ignorance or delusion to condition the next rebirth. So the choice is upon their nature, means the Buddha nature. So it doesn't mean that they have to come immediately. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, there is one saying, Liao Liao Qian Xing Chang Zhu. If you can realize your true nature clearly, beautifully, you can stay in that state for very long. How many of you can understand this Mandarin saying, Qian Xing, realize your true nature, your inner nature? Is to realize your true nature. Qian Xing is to realize your true nature. And Liao Liao Qian Xing means you clearly realize that true nature. Chang Zhu means you can stay there very long. You can take a rest. Your nature can take a rest. You don't have to come back so early. So Liao Liao Qian Xing means with clarity you connect and realize the true mind, the true nature. Then the silent mind can go into cessation. Then when this happens, that form and mind will understand. When it comes out of it, the form and mind is no longer deluded. That is what enlightenment is all about. That is what Nibbana is all about. It will go into cessation. This will complete all the email sharing. And now you will commence the Bodhisattva Way cultivation sharing. Then I asked, do you all have any more questions? Okay, at that time it was exactly 10:15. Yeah, we start at 8 p.m. a day. So we are on the dot. Anybody has any other question? Can you all understand what is being shared? Then I said sadhu, because there are a few heads nodding yes. Don't worry. As long as you have these three things, the faith, sincerity, and diligence or perseverance, no more doubt, then you just cultivate. Then make your own choice. Because the benefit that comes with all this understanding is immeasurable. You only need to plant the seed of Bodhi deep in your consciousness to walk this way. We are very strong affirmation and determination with understanding. Then you are home. Then develop the faith, sadha, and virya to sincerely cultivate and persevere. Then if you do it with a lot of understanding, very strong resolve and faith and vows, sincerely, like taking an oath, then the Bodhi seed will definitely take root and nurture beautifully for you to accomplish your vows. In Hokkien, it is called Lo Guan. 发言。Anybody else want to ask any question or clarify anything? If you don't have any more question, maybe we can end. Before that, I just want to check with Sister Padmasri about the Sankara Upapati Sutta. Did I send it to you? If not, it means I haven't edited it yet. I almost forgot about this email. Okay, I will go through it again. And maybe tomorrow after I have edited it, I will forward it to you all and copy it to the lady who sent it to me. Then we will print it out for sharing. Yes, there are a lot of things to do because the other transcripts coming out are also very good. You all should thank Sister Padmasri, for she has transcribed the coming book, Who Are You and What Are You, the Green Book. And that is a very good book. It talks about the two nature, karmic nature and spiritual nature, and explain clearly what this form and mind is all about. And also we had the Taiwan trips, pre-trip briefing, which is also very good. It will teach you how to prepare yourself for such spiritual trip, and they are all very good and interesting. All of you should rejoice. I have just finished the final editing. Then we can go through the final check. After that, we can get it printed. The book will be ready before the end of this month. The other transcript book that we need your help is to do help to do up is the Heart Sutta transcript short notes, covering over 15 months of rather beautiful Heart Sutta class sharing. We have finished compiling the transcript of all the Dhamma sharing help, and we are now doing the formatting and final proofreading. That book is extremely good. Once it comes out, it will revolutionize the understanding of the Dhamma. The book is so beautiful. While I was doing the proofreading, I was so surprised that I spoke so much and in such detail, covering almost all my main teachings. And they are all there in transcript form. You will be surprised. Since the day it started, it has never changed. It still has the same essence. Now, if you read it again, you will be amazed. All this were there, repeated and repeated and repeated. But you all didn't see it, because at that time, you all could not grasp or catch it. Reason being, you all are not ready. Now with your improved understanding, when you read these Dhamma notes again, it will be like a jewel. And this is what I want you all to do. Before I forget, for the cover page, we must look for a beautiful Kuan Yin image for this Heart Sutta book. The title of the book is Heart Sutta Meditation Short Note. We are going to give it to you all free, because the cost will be borne by our Kayamita Fund. Our Kayamita Fund still have quite a lot of money, according to Stephanie. The Tuesday class Kayamita Fund still have more than 7,000 at that time. Then Suyan also. That means Kayamita have been donating, and we should rejoice, because with this, we can do a lot more, leading to more goodness and wholesomeness. This book is very useful. I think it will cost us 10 ringgit a copy with the binding, combining. And this one will be like your Buddhist Bible. When you go for meditation retreat, you do not need any other books or notes. Just bring this one book. It's enough. When you go back, do spend some time reading it. Then you will start to see what this teaching is all about and how it has been repeated so often. But the good thing is, every time it is repeated, it gives you more understanding. And its approach is always from another angle. Even until today, nothing has changed. The essential Dhamma thought are still the same. That is the five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculties or mental faculties, the three evil roots, the four noble truths and its three turnings, the four foundations of mindfulness and the noble eightfold path. Even though all of these are still the same, but the understanding is so different and so beautiful now. And now when she listened to all those talks while doing the transcript, there is so much joy. And she like doesn't need to sleep. And she can just finish it or complete it. That's why the faith can make a big difference in your cultivation. If you don't have it, the spiritual faculty cannot help you. The first spiritual faculty is the Dao, faith in the Triple Gemini, the Buddha. And then Virya. Then Sati will come. That's why you just do while keeping up with the three things. Develop the faith, sincerity, and diligence or perseverance. Okay, then I say we better do the closing puja and the sharing of merit, etc. now. So that will end. So the closing puja is normally sharing of merits with the devas. So this one very good. I will read to you so that you have the understanding. In Pali, it's Akasatta Chirpumata, which we always chant during the closing. Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana. The meaning is, may all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. So this is a very good closing puja. And we will continue by chanting Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all spirit rejoice, may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. So that is the meaning. Then we transform merits to the departed ones. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. So this one is repeated three times. The meaning is, let this merit accrue to our departed relative and may they all to be well and happy. So you repeat for three times so that they can rejoice. Then after that, we invoke blessing for our nation or country. We will chant this. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati seto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko. May the rain fall in due season and may there be a good harvest and good fortune all round the world. May the world be prosperous and peaceful. May the government, the king and the rulers always be righteous. So this is the pure aspiration or wish. The blessing for the nation. Then finally, we chant this very important invocation of merits for us to avoid the foolish meet up with the wise, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. So we chant Ipina Punyang Kamina Mami Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nibbana Patiya. Then we rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. The meaning is, by the grace of this merit that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, up to the time we attain final liberation or Nibbana. So we rejoice. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Then we pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Pujian Bodhisattva, and all the great beings and Bodhi One. That's how we end. So this is the first session. We will end here. Then walking the Bodhisattva way and taking the vow, second sharing, part B, we will stop here so that we can have our 45 minutes of silent inner awareness meditation. So now it's exactly 4:01, just nice. Okay, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So you're off the light, then you all can have your awareness-based meditation, 45 minutes. I will set the alarm for 45 minutes. So as usual, relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then silence your mind, maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just stabilize your awareness nature to realize your true mind. That's why awareness-based meditation is very unique. It's not thought-based meditation. Thought-based meditation involves the thinking process, a lot of thought behind. Whereas awareness-based meditation is just relax, silent, completely silent. It's don't try to do anything. Just maintain awareness within. Silent means no more thinking, no more sankara activity, no more trying to know. Whatever that still continue to arise from your form and mind, let it arise, never mind. But aware, finish, aware, finish. Let the awareness stabilize until finally there is no more condition for the sankara activity to move. Then you will come to understand what that true mind is. You will go through a transition, a shift of consciousness, where you will come to realize suddenly your mind might become very quiet. Like all the thinking, the activity, slow down until you become very quiet, very still. So when there is this tranquility, stillness, stay there, maintain the awareness, let it stabilize. Then observe, silent everything. Observe with the silent mind, that is meditation. Then see how from that silent thought arise, mind state arise, the aggregates of mind arise. Because we are a human being. We have the physical body with the senses. We have a consciousness trapped inside. And upon contact, many things happen. So when you are with that silent mind, you can observe, you can understand, and you can see clearly who are you, what are you, how you function as a human being, how thought arises, how the content of consciousness arises, and how you input the content of consciousness. And how that content condition you into emotion, into various mind state. And how, due to your wrong view, self-delusion, the evil roots arise, thereby conditioning the heedless thinking, the mental hindrance and all those things. Then you can see the manifestation of the mental hindrance, habitual tendency, the evil roots of great hatred and delusion, which is the result of your self-delusion, egoic mind. So silence your mind to observe all this, to understand. Then with the understanding, you will progress. You will develop very different understanding of the teaching, the Dhamma, and you will become very beautiful. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of your meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, so now we will continue with the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by question if you have any. Then you can also share about your own understanding of Dhamma in daily life that you have encountered or have gone through. Or you can describe how you find today sharing.
Good afternoon, Brother Teo.
Yeah, so the...
Thank you, Song, for nominating me to share. But I hope because my internet is not stable, I hope the sound is all right.
Yeah, it's good. Now it's very clear.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, Brother Teo, because that day I went
to bed. Oh, yeah. It's okay. It's so okay.
I stopped now for 3 days.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Father Teo. Thank
okay.
You.
Okay. What I want to share once is this awareness-based meditation.
Very good. Yeah.
Okay. Really very suitable for daily mindfulness.
Yeah.
Because when you, it's much easier to be aware in the daily activities, and once you get stabilized, the sitting actually is much easier.
Yeah, a lot
it's
easier.
Straight away go to the mind instead
of
the mind hindrances that you could go through. And recently, because of the, I'm actually prepared to go for vaccinations. And my classmate actually quite concerned about it because in US they have a lot of parties giving a negative info on this vaccination.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but for myself, I'm quite confident in that already. Then suddenly I receive calls that coming in, keep on telling you better not to go. You got a lot of side effects. You know, 2 years time. It doesn't. Then very funny is. Like in previous time when I heard all this, my reaction is totally different.
This time
I can actually see that after the receiving the info. Then
you can see how
your mind actually reacts.
Yeah, it does not affect you.
But the thing is, the awareness is more stable that can actually see and empathize.
Correct.
Empathize the info that given to you rather than you react to it.
Yeah, sadhu.
In the night, I feel that if we don't have this awareness, actually a lot of time, every moment that we actually create negativity.
Very good.
Aren't aware about it.
Yes.
And you can see how the ignorance, the dependent origination actually arise from a person that you cannot decide which one is the right things to do, you know.
They tend to have now,
Then from that, your mind came out with the, because the empathize that you, I felt that in that night, I sent out a metta to her instead of go and confront.
Yeah.
So when I send this metta, very funny is it arises deeply from the heart.
Oh, sadhu, very good.
So it sent out, and I find that is very good. It actually opened up to all, not only to her.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's from the nature. It's from the nature.
Yeah, it come out from it.
Yeah.
Then next morning, when I do my morning puja that comes, I felt that suddenly I feel that I want to do the we start 12 out.
Sadhu.
So I took out the yellow card.
Sadhu.
I read it. I recited it by reading it actually.
Before
I can complete the first sentence that brought you to us, invoked the merit.
Sadhu.
I suddenly there is a deep suffering arises. But the funny thing is when this arises, it together with the tears come out. It's followed by the wows.
Yeah, sadhu.
It arises. It's not a recitation. It arises from the heart.
Yeah,
then
from
there, you come to understand how to go about the Bodhisattva path. It's not to liberate as we understood in our theory, actually.
Yeah, definitely. It's so different.
Respect the Buddha nature in everyone.
Yes.
That's why I find that the understanding from what you go through and the understanding from the theory that is quite different.
Yes, very different. The theory comes from the thought process.
Yes,
theory is knowledge.
Arises.
Yeah.
So this is,
The other thing is, maybe I would like to ask you, did you take the Bodhisattva vow under Poyen Zhang Lao?
I took it in the, because Poyen Zhang Lao, he told us in the earlier stage, he always said that you walk the path rather than take the vow.
Okay. Maybe he know you are not ready at that time. Yeah,
he want us to walk it. I took the vow from Dhammadrum.
Oh, okay.
I took the vow from Dhammadrum.
Yeah.
During, I think it's during his anniversary.
Oh, that time Sun Yan Fa Shi still around, eh?
No. That time Sun Yan Fa Shi passed away, did he?
Oh,
but
past, okay.
Master Sun Yan, he got very good recording.
Oh, okay.
Recording.
So the disciple did it for you.
And the disciple, three disciples did it for us.
Oh, sorry.
Then before that, he used Master Sun Yan recording to actually do the training.
Oh, yes, they follow his tradition. Yeah.
So he did, we have to do 2 hours of repentance.
Yeah.
They're doing two things. One is repentance for the karmic debtors.
Yeah.
Then after that, the actual day only we did the repentance for ourselves.
Yeah. So very good. Anything else?
Then I passed on to Brother Teo this time. I don't know why. In some Brother Teo, the teaching becomes more and more clear.
Yeah.
Easy to understand.
Very different.
It seems that almost Kalamitas also can actually grasp the gist of it.
Starts to have the ability to follow, to understand.
Especially last Thursday class.
Yeah.
How to develop the awareness-based meditation.
Yes, it's very different now.
Really, really can happen.
Yes.
That's what I...
Sadhu, yeah. It's now very different because now more and more Kayamita are able to have the ability to have the faith to understand the sharing. Because awareness-based meditation is very different. It will bring you to the true mind. When you are aware, you will realize your true mind, your awareness nature. And this is what Huineng is trying to get cultivator to understand. Once you realize that, you will bypass all the thought-based meditation or doing. Or you will not waste time on all the thought-based, so-called knowledge-based type of cultivation. So without sati, without awareness, there is no heedfulness. And according to the Buddha, it's very clear. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas the heedless are as it did. So if you don't know what is heedfulness, you cannot start your meditation. To be heedful, the Buddha mentioned under Dhammapada verse 23 very clearly, the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. The bond-free supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. The unconditioned. And who is this constantly meditative, ever mindful? This defies heedfulness. So you need to be in the state of ever mindful state, means constantly meditative using this ability of mindfulness that you have developed. So when you understand this is heedfulness, then you will be very clear that if I want to be heedful, to become enlightened. Because if you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. That's why Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So without heedfulness, you cannot grow. So what is heedfulness? To be constantly meditative and ever mindful, there are two components. First component is ever mindful. How can you be in that state of ever mindful? Not only mindful, as I used to stabilize it to be ever mindful. That's the reason why that awareness-based meditation can lead you to that. And when you are just aware, you are without thought. That is what sati is. That is what mindfulness is. Awareness before the known. So when you stabilize that, it becomes samadhi. Your mind becomes collected and unwavering. Then you can use it to meditate, to investigate dhamma, to cultivate. That's why to meditate means to be in a state of awareness that is very stable, to observe, to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to realize the truth. So understanding this, you will know how to move into the cultivation. So the question about meditation is constantly meditative means constantly developing the bhavana of meditation as taught by the Buddha. And the Buddha taught us three types of wisdom. When you meditate, bhavana, you develop three types of wisdom. First type of wisdom is through hearing, listening. Sutamaya panya. That's why you have to, like the Avijja Sutta say, develop ability to have kayanamita, dhamma friends. Then you have the opportunity to listen to the true dhamma. You have to do that. That is step two. So opportunity to listen to the true dhamma is the first turning wisdom. So you listen. Then after that, you develop the second turning. Reflect, contemplate, and inquire. That's how you develop the Sutamaya Panya. Wisdom born of constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. Then finally is the third turning, Bhavana Maya Panya. That one you need to use the silent mind to develop the meditation, the Bhavana. So unless you go through these three, you are not meditating. So when you contemplate on the Four Noble Truths, and it's three turning, that is the second turning wisdom. Then when you listen to Dhamma, the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truth, the spin-off from there or the state, that is also cultivation. That's why constantly meditating is in the meditative state. Then when you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness leading to the seven factors of enlightenment, then you silence your mind to be ever mindful, to insight into phenomena, to awaken, that is Bhavana Maya Panya, the turning wisdom. So basically, to be heedful is to be ever mindful, to cultivate the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. And basically, Four Noble Truths and his three turning cumulate into the Noble Eightfold Path, because that is the Fourth Noble Truth. The Fourth Noble Truth, you will come to know, that is the path that leads to the end of all suffering. That's why the meditation as taught by the Buddha is the Noble Eightfold Path. It doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path. That is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So from heedfulness, you start. That's why I keep on reminding Kayamita. Even today, one of the Kayamita came, I think, she came and passed me some breakfast. And she, while having breakfast, we discussed Dhamma. Then she shared about her experience and how she also learned from other sharing and other things. Then I say, there is one thing you must always remember. If you don't know how to meditate, meditate without understanding, no use. They may teach you, this is the way to meditate. This is the method, this is the technique, this is the Dhamma. They're everything like very impressive, very beautiful and all those things. But do you know, if they don't understand what is meditation as taught by the Buddha, they cannot progress. They are actually wasting their time doing a lot of thought-based meditation. So I repeated what I shared with you all. How do we start? Because the Appamattavada Bhaga, or what we call heedfulness section of the Dhammapada that the Buddha actually taught, is very important. Verse 21 until 40 is the Appamattavada. The first three, most important. The Buddha in his opening statement say, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead, the heedless are ascended. So if you are not heedful, you cannot meditate. You cannot become enlightened. You are ascended. So the first thing is to understand what is heedfulness. Otherwise, how can we start the cultivation? So to understand what is heedfulness is very important. Dhammapada verse 23, like I explained just now. The constantly meditative, ever mindful. Have you done that? Is your mind in that state? Are you ever mindful? Constantly meditative to follow the Abhijja Sutta, to cultivate the three turning order for number two, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, to develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma, to silence your mind, to awaken. If you are not doing that, you are wasting your time. Everything that is taught is mostly 99% is thought-based meditation. What do they teach you? Knowledge. Thought-based meditation. They give you the method, the technique, the way to meditate. Then, who meditate? The thought actively trying to do meditate. Not there, focus, concentrate. Then do this, do that. Then the mind inside there is very active, chattering, verbalizing. Am I doing it correctly? Is that what the Buddha say? Is that what my teacher say? Do I follow instruction? Then off and on the mental hindrance arrive, but they are not mindful, they are not aware. So what are you doing? You are wasting your time. All this is thought-based activity. I don't call it meditation. People can call it meditation, but it's thought-based, knowledge-based activity that will not lead to heedfulness. Without heedfulness, your ascending is very clear. So you start with understanding what is heedfulness, then asking yourself, if heedfulness got two parts, ever mindful, constantly meditative, how can I start my cultivation and training? I have to train my mind to be aware, to be mindful, that stabilize it to be ever mindful. That is the first thing I have to do. If I can't even do that, everything I say, no use. It's knowledge. Because without this ever mindful state, your mind cannot be silent, cannot be peaceful, cannot be aware, and you cannot investigate them. We are the first factor of enlightenment, sati, is not there. So without sati, you cannot observe, you cannot see, you cannot understand. You cannot insight into phenomena, you cannot awaken. So sati is most important. And the stability of sati is very, very important. Then after that, you move into constantly meditating. How can I be in that state? To understand that, I must understand what is meditation. Like the Buddha in the Sabdasavak Sutta, he said, things that you should pay attention to, you must pay attention. Things that are unfit for attention, you don't pay attention. Even asking questions is the same. if you pay attention to things that is nothing to do with the cultivation, nothing to do with the development of heedfulness, then you are wasting your time. It's the curiosity of your thought that want to know. That's why you ask, the last thought moment, we can do this, we can do this. Then, is it important to have jhana? What is all this question? I don't try to prevent you from finding out or asking. But to me, these are things that are unfit for attention. Because it will not lead to the training of the mind to be heedful. It will not lead to cultivation. So things that are fit for attention are the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. You pay attention to that and you develop the cultivation from that. You train your mind to develop the initial wisdom, the contemplative wisdom, then the stability of mindfulness to do the third turning. Then you learn the essential Dhamma, Pariyati, the first phase of Dhamma, understanding the teaching. Then phase two is Patipati, putting it to practice. So without heedfulness, you cannot put it into practice. You have to develop heedfulness. That's why ever mindful, constantly meditating, means constantly cultivating. But to do that, you have to start with the mind that is mindful, aware, ever mindful, stable. So this understanding is most important. That's why, luckily for you, Miss Lee, you later on came to know the importance of the silent mind and awareness-based meditation. That's why you move into there, you transform, you become very different. In the past, you are doing a lot of thought-based conditioning type of Dhamma practice, very routine type. You every day must do those routine and all those things. Then later on, after your awareness come about, then you become different. And now, what you mentioned today is very true. When your friend call you about the vaccine thing and try to caution you and like tell you this and tell you that, you are not affected like last time. You are not easily agitated because your understanding, your clarity is there. So you can transform it into empathy, and you know how to actually benefit her by radiating out from your nature. All these are very beautiful. All this can only happen when you have the understanding after your awareness developed. Then when you can understand my unique code, that is the beginning. That's why on a few of the gathering of Payamita, I remember you did the unique code, you frame it out. And my nature rejoices on your behalf because it means you understand, you can follow. The two unique codes you gave to me on the gathering of Payamita, I still have them. And they are beautiful. That's why you and Engby, they all benefited because you can understand the unique code. You all pay attention to it. And when the book came out, it helped you all so much. So all the other Kayamita who have faith, they also move into it. They follow the advice given by me, the daily religious routine, the vow. Then they continue to constantly listen to the Dhamma. Then they reflect, they contemplate, they develop the daily mindfulness. Then make aspiration, pre-puja, post-puja. Then follow up with all the activity that we have. So all this has benefited them and transformed them. And it needs time because these are very difficult teaching, like I told the Kayamita this morning. It's not thought-based, it's not knowledge-based. You cannot understand it by reading out and listening alone, unless you have your past. So all this need understanding, and the understanding is you need to be heedful. That is the most important criteria, mind state that you must be in. If you are not heedful in the midst of life, you don't stand a chance. The heedless are as it is. The Buddha make it very clear, Dhammapada verse 21. So to be heedful is very important. So from there, all the teaching, the meditation, the cultivation start. That's why I go back to basic understanding of mind. What is mind? The mind that is ever mindful is without thought. That's why it's silent, relax, maintain awareness. Just stabilize that. And that is your true mind. Without the true mind, you cannot be mindful. You cannot be ever mindful. But the true mind is without thought. Originally tranquil, still, clarity. That is not clouded by thought. And what is thought? Thought is the five aggregate of form and mind. Sankara, emotion. Your like and dislike. Your reaction to sense experience. Your affliction. Your evil roots. Your mental hindrance. All this is what Sankara is. That delusion inside. So when you start to have the mindfulness to see all this, then you will come to realize there is a true mind that is without any of this Sankara. Aggregate mind. Then there is another mind which is dependent originating, the mundane mind, that arises from there. And how did it arise? Through the views, opinion, conditioning and belief system that the brain has accumulated, that consciousness has accumulated over the years. Because the conditioning from society, from education, from your belief system, religious belief system and other things. So when you are able to see all this and understand all this, then you see the danger of thought. Why and how thought is limited, thought divide and create all those confusion and delusion. And when you understand, you develop the right understanding to straighten your view, then with that wisdom, that understanding, the awakening, the enlightenment, you can use it to actually live life. Then thought become beautiful, where the user of thought with wisdom can arise the right thought. That is what Dhamma is all about. Then you use it to live life. Then life has its own Dhamma. The existential Dhamma, conditioned Dhamma, is different from the unconditioned Dhamma. The conditioned Dhamma has law of karma, dependent originating, four noble truth, recognizes relationship. That's why you have to have all those understanding. That even though the unconditioned Dhamma is he know you, he know me, everything not real, not what you think. But there is such thing as lying. There is such thing as law of karma. And our form and mind is subject to it. That's why you have to understand all this. What is this form and mind? How did it arise? How it arises through karmic conditioning? Then what is it? Is it you? If it's not you, then why does it arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? This is what meditation is all about, self-knowledge. Awareness that see clearly and understand that these five aggregate of form and mind, the human being, the thought process, they are all dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, impermanent. If you attach and corrupt, it leads to suffering. That's why it's non-self, empty, not you. And then your mind liberate. This is the teaching, not about the Dhamma knowledge. Not about interpreting what this teaching is all about. It's about understanding. Do you understand who are you? What are you? Do you understand what makes you deluded and become what you are? Do you know what liberates your mind and what frees you? That's why without all this understanding of heedfulness leading to the cultivation, you cannot free. And you look back at the way people teach meditation, that traditional Buddhist way, the thought based on, it has a lot of missing link. It doesn't have that understanding to teach people, to actually bring about actual understanding to transform the individual, the cultivator. So that is the reason why all this that is missing, slowly, slowly, our Kayamita, we are starting to get them back. And it's not easy. It takes quite a while, but it's beautiful. Over the years, especially the last 5 years or 4 over years, it has been beautiful. A lot of you all have progressed and developed the understanding, and now it's moving very fast. This Kayamita for the understanding, the energy behind is movement. So my nature really rejoiced, and there are a lot of people with faith now, with the understanding, with the cultivation, they are moving into it. So once again, honestly, salute to you for coming out with a good condition and understanding. Then we can have this session to discuss all this. So this session also very important, very beautiful. Okay, now I pass back to you, Miss Lee. You can continue.
Yeah, Kanan Brahjo, today a very detailed explanation. Previously, you see, we have heard about the hindrances and creature faculty. But the hindrances keep on arising in our meditation, and we didn't recognize it. We can hear it, we can listen it. And in a theory, you actually don't know how to address it. But after this awareness, it show you, it actually, the when the spiritual faculty is, the condition is there, the hindrance is all gone.
Yeah, because it is the opposite five spiritual faculty that overcome the hindrance.
Yeah,
so what you saw is very important, very beautiful. I also discussed this with Joyce. I said, why are they heedless? The difference between a person who is heedful, who is trained in his mind, and a person who is heedless is very obvious. The heedless, they think a lot. They have a lot of mental hindrance. Why? Because they lack the spiritual faculty. If you don't have the sadda, the faith, your mind cannot be calm and composed. You will have doubt. You will have restlessness. You will have mental hindrance because your faith is not there. Then without faith, you cannot have virya. Faith is faith in the Buddha and his teaching, not belief, not blind faith. Faith to understanding. Then when virya is there, you cannot be sleepy. The lethargic mind, the mental hindrance or sleepiness, lethargic mind cannot arise. Then after that, it will drive you to cultivate, to have sati. And what is sati? Sati is awareness, without thought. Without thought means what? No thought means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no duality, no like, no dislike. That's why the first two mental hindrance or sensual desire and ill will is not there. Then when you stabilize it and develop samadhi, that stability of mindfulness, which is samadhi, will allow your mind not to stir and not to react at the moment of sense experience, where it's collected and unwavering. The mind that has samadhi is collected and unwavering. So once you have this sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, awakened, the direct seeing. That's how wisdom come about. So when these five spiritual faculty fall into place, your mental hindrance, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt cease to be. And the reason being, these are mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So when you understand this, then you will understand why you need the opposite five spiritual faculty to allow you to be in the meditative state. Well, according to the Buddha, these are spiritual faculty that can allow you to have the mind state to understand spiritual teaching, means to meditate, to awaken, to understand. That's why with this understanding, all along Thursday class, Tuesday class, I only teach these few essential Dhamma. If you have the spiritual faculty, you technically no need to train your mind to meditate, because the spiritual faculty are meditative state. When you have Siddha, very strong faith, you are very calm and very composed. That is a meditative state. When you have Virya, you are not sleepy. There is a spiritual faculty that prevents you from lapsing into sleepiness. Then when you have Sati, you have the silent mind. You are aware. That's how you can observe. That's why you can see. You can understand what is going on. You are not lost in thought. You are not heedless anymore. Then when you stabilize that in the midst of life, when you have Sati and Samadhi, your mind is collected and unwavering. That's why it is no longer reacting to sense experience. It's no longer stirring. It's collected and unwavering. That's why you can see things as they are. It's without your mind reacting to it, without memory, without conditioning, without views and opinion coming in to interfere. So without Sati and Samadhi, you cannot see. That's why the art of listening, the art of seeing, you need Samadhi and Sati. You have to pay attention attentively so that you are aware of what is going on. Then your views, opinion, conditioning from memory, your whatever phobia, all those things, insecurity, scars of memory, they will not come in and interfere. Your delusion, all they will not come in. So this is how meditation is to be understood. Just the five mental hindrance and the spiritual faculty has so much Dhamma understanding behind. So if you don't understand these two, you cannot start, you cannot meditate. You don't even know how you become heedless, how the mental hindrance, like the word say hindrance, hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why they cannot meditate. That's why they think a lot. They have a lot of doubt. They are restless most of the time. And every moment of sense experience, they stir their mind, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. They react to sense experience. But their views, their opinion, their conditioning, their habitual tendency are so strong. And who is doing all this? The thought. The thought that has wrong view, delusion, that is heedless, cannot see, cannot understand. Then they don't have the initial wisdom to understand the initial Dhamma. They don't understand Pariyatti, the real Pariyatti. Understand or not? Not the knowledge-based, thought-based one. The real Pariyatti is the teaching. The teaching is not the word. The teaching is beyond word. That's why Huining doesn't need to be educated. Why? Because he's born without the mundane mind. He is born with the true mind. That's why without knowing the words, the Mandarin word, once he hears them, he awakens. Why? Because the silent mind is the mind that can understand and awaken and receive truth. That is your true mind. So you don't need Wenzi. You don't need education to learn Dhamma. That's why scholar committing to memory, knowledge, no use. Because Dhamma is to be developed through the awareness, that silent mind to observe, to awaken, and to develop the understanding. So now today's discussion is very good. That's why the condition all fall into place. You can see clearly. To understand Dhamma, the truth, you don't need education. You don't need to be literate. You only need to have the silent mind that can awaken to truth, that can understand truth. Then you look at Huining, because he is illiterate, uneducated. But the moment he heard the sutta, he can explain to people using normal words. And the meaning is so deep, so beautiful. That's why he pointed out to the nun, you remember? The nun feel funny, is it? People say you are very spiritual. You're supposed to be the sixth patriarch, 五祖的传人. But how come you are illiterate? Because he passed, she passed him the sutta. He said, I don't know how to read. Can you read it to me? He said, how can? You don't even know the word. How can you understand? Then after he read, he explained, the nun was impressed. He said, how did you do that? Because he said, the Dhamma is not the 文字, understand?
Yeah.
The word is not the Dhamma. The Dhamma is truth. Nature's truth. That's why he gave a few analogies very simple to the nun. And the nun realized how beautiful the teaching has become. It's no more Dhamma knowledge. It's no more like the Mahayana Sutta and all those things. He never say that. He teach direct to the true mind, the silent mind. That's why his three hallmark is fantastic. Wu Nian, Wu Xiang, Wu Zhu. That one is fantastic. That is what understanding can awaken a person. And understanding comes from the silent mind, not from the thinking mind. The thinking mind cannot understand. The thinking mind is thought-based, egoic. And that one is limited because it's no longer aware. It's limited by the content of consciousness inside. When you are lost in thought, you are preoccupied with what your thought is doing. The emotion, the fear, the doubt, the whatever movement inside. Well, that is the content of consciousness. Through delusion, it starts to develop orders and the mental hindrance. But when you are aware, you are without all those negativity, the wrong thought, the movement. You are just aware in stillness, with clarity, tranquil, peaceful, having joy, pity, sukham, not agitated, no mental hindrance, nothing. That is what a heedful mind is, a meditative mind is. That's why a person who is enlightened, he is all the time aware, mindful. He seldom think. He only think and use thought when there is a need to apply them, to use them, to arise them. So all this understanding has fallen into place and become very beautiful. So you are going through this phase of understanding. That's why you saw the two, five mental hindrance and spiritual faculties, so beautiful. You can start to appreciate them, but you haven't stabilized this understanding. So if you listen to my today's sharing, it will stabilize and you become very different. And next time, you also can teach and share. You see. So sadhu to you. Huh?
Thank you,
Matthew. Yeah, sadhu.
Yeah.
Yes, very good.
So, you know, even the listening into your Dhamma.
Yeah, so different now.
No, it's because before that, actually, we don't listen.
Yeah, because your views, opinion, keep on coming in.
We interpret, we analyze.
Correct. Then
until one time.
You keep on using your conditioning, your views, your opinion to actually react to it. You are not listening.
Correct.
You are using your Dhamma knowledge. Hey, last time I learned not like that. Oh.
No,
the book also never write. The monk also never teach. Where did Brother Teo got all this? Means you are not listening. Understand?
And my brother Teo said, my nature, I wondering what is this nature?
Yeah, about? That's why. That time you cannot understand. Yeah? You keep on using your knowledge. Your
now you know it. Now no more this type of mind.
That type of mind and questioning no more.
No
because
more.
You have understood.
Then the essence keep on coming in.
Ah, sadhu, very good. That is what cultivation is. When you have gone through the understanding of what that silent mind is, the awareness nature is, you become different. But that is the mind that can receive truth, that can understand truth, that can awaken, that can insight into phenomena. Like I told Joyce, if you don't focus on cultivation, all these things that you discuss with them and talk to them, no use. No use. Because these are all knowledge, thought-based. It cannot transform you. end of the day, you go back to daily life, you know, the moment you go back to daily life, your senses are active, six senses. And they cannot maintain mindfulness, heedfulness, that you came to understand. Without the stability of the awareness nature, your sitting cannot stabilize. Your daily mindfulness cannot come about. That's why you have that understanding. That's why your opening statement you mentioned that is very good. And you're starting to understand and see. But you haven't had the stability of wisdom and understanding to explain it very clearly. But it's already very good. That's why my nature rejoices. So when cultivator progress, my nature knows where they will speak differently. They will share differently. And they can see that thing that a cultivator see, that's why they are different. That's why, sadhu to you, for the last few years, you have progressed a lot. Then you have more and more virtue in you. You start to have empathy. You start to have gratitude, can earn and all things. Then you are no longer like last time. Pardon me for saying it honestly. Last time, do you know, you are very stubborn.
Yeah, it's true.
Ah,
that's true. So, I'm very stubborn in the view.
Your view, you very stubborn. You may not agree, you may keep quiet, but behind, you still don't agree. But the few years after the Heart Sutta came out, after the transcript came out, I realized because in a few of the Heart Sutta class, you remember, you put out your hand and try to explain what that cultivation is. Then I actually explain to you in the negative. I say, this is not Dhamma, this is still thought-based. You remember? Almost 3-4 times now. But you're very good. You're very patient. You never react to it and like give up on the whole thing. You continue to try to understand. Then finally, you have the breakthrough because it is the condition behind. You have the parami. Your time has come. Because when you invite me over to your Wu Ping Xing Sir to share that one, it's meant to be one. The nature wanted that. This teaching has to come out. That's why you also will know that it's very strange. You don't know me. And through that grace, you came to my class. And the moment you came to my class, you knew that this is different. Then Saturday class, you went for the meditation. Again, you knew different. Then you decide to invite me over to Wu Ping Xing Sir. Initially, it's to have the vegetarian meal and all those things. Then at that first meal, first meeting, you invited me to go over there and teach. Then I told you, I'm English educated. Yours is a Mahayana temple. I will teach in English. He said, no problem. Because you wanted the teaching. That's why all these things fall into place. Then it also involves your that person. Then there is condition for us to meet. Then we clear up the thing, the last like obstacle, no more. That's why they allow us to do the sharing. And we have been there for many years. So coming to, I think, 7 years already, if I'm not wrong. So all these were very beautiful. Then because of your faith, your parami, your past, then all these fall into place. Then you have the condition to receive this. Actually, you should thank your teacher, Poyan Zhang Hao. Yeah, he created that way place. The energy there very good. The way place so beautiful.
Yeah.
That place, when I went there, I can feel the Kuan Yin's nature, the Buddha's nature, and the what you call the heavenly beings. The non-humans, or what we call the Dharma protector up there. They are so beautiful. You remember the lightning and the thunder? Yes, when I explained the thing to you, you asked my daughter just now. The thunder was so strong, they were rejoicing. You asked my daughter just now when I was explaining to you. That thing Then when I meditate, I knew already. All the wind and everything. There they know the next session is going to be a good one. Then it so happened, Brother Song choose you without knowing you are misled. That is
normally I don't share is because my internet line is sometimes on.
Yeah, today
sometimes.
Very good. Today very clear. Sadhu, yeah. Mentally. Sadhu. You can continue, Miss Lee. Very good. You have the condition to allow me to explain many things that you start to understand.
Okay, another point I want to bring up is the realizations in the within.
Yes.
When this comes, actually it's not a recap of theory.
Yeah.
It actually arises deeply from within.
Correct. It transforms because, you.
And it's different because the understanding, it can form few perspectives.
Yes.
You know, different perspective.
Yes.
So that's why now you understand why it's so difficult to grasp the truth from a Dhamma teaching.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the understanding that comes from the silent mind is so different from the one that is knowledge-based. Knowledge-based, you have to commit to memory. Understand? And it's rigid. It's like very rigid one. The teaching is like that means like that one. That's why it will make a person stubborn. It will make a person rigid with the views, the opinion. Whereas Dhamma open up a person, transform that person into somebody very humble, full of humility, full of gratitude, full of faith, full of understanding, full of clarity. And they don't want to argue, they don't want to enter into unnecessary discussion that leads to conflict and misunderstanding. There's no point, he know you, he know me. There is no such thing. You want to be right? It's okay, you go ahead. Because they don't have that ego that want to be right, want to be so and so, want to even help or explain things. No point. When there is no condition, you will not manifest. That's why all this is other understanding that make you different. And your understanding, like you described, is very different from last time. Last time is knowledge based, thought based, very rigid, can make you very like egoic, stubborn, not just thing. But now it transforms you. It starts to develop the empathy, the joy, the happiness, the tranquility, the stillness, the understanding behind, and you are no longer like before, egoic, want to like impress, no more. Unless there is condition, you will not say anything, you will not share. Then you can actually see and check for yourself. Your character, your personality has changed. You are no longer like before. That very mundane mind that is very heedless, think a lot, talk a lot, rigid, egoic and all those things, you realize that one all gone. That's what the cultivator will come to know. They realize they have transformed, like Po Cheng. Po Cheng, no. Last time the habitual tendency very strong. He said, wow, a little bit only, cannot take it already, Bo Song, Bo Suka, all those things. It's not so different. With sati, with awareness, she saw everything so beautiful, so different. Then there is so much joy.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah. So you can continue, yeah, Miss Lee. So your sharing is really good today. Yeah.
No, this but this understanding is you actually when you more and more you seems to be like the non-thought come very naturally.
Yeah,
it's
very true.
It's not that you don't want to think. It's no. It's all the while it's silent.
Correct. Because when you have the ability to realize the true mind, the silent mind, like I explained, which is a better mind, the heedful or the heedless? The heedless think a lot and have a lot of mental hindrance, restless, agitated. You want that type of mind. That's why I say the moment you realize that difference, you will never go back to heedlessness again. The heedful mind is so tranquil, so still, so peaceful, full of joy, full of tranquility, stillness, calmness, clarity, understanding. So different the two. That's why you cannot go back. So that type of mind is so different. That's why you came to know it's not something that you don't want to think. Well, you cannot think. Because what is thinking? Thinking is sankhara. And what is sankhara? Unless you have doubt, you have confusion, you will not think. That's why ignorant conditions, mental activity, avijja paccaya sankhara. But when you have clarity, wisdom and understanding, everything is just the way it is, you don't have to think. You only arise the thought, which is right thought, based on your understanding, your wisdom, to be a blessing to all, to help people, to communicate, to teach, to share. So this is the purpose of using thought appropriately. So that transformation is very different. It makes you very different. And this type of sharing, where can you find in any book? Today, what we discuss is the transformation part of cultivator. You can find in any book or not. You show me any book. You can't. Yeah. This is the silent mind, the awareness-based meditation, the true understanding of the Dhamma. Thought-based will never go through any of this, I can tell you. They can never understand what we discuss too. But this is beyond thought, beyond mind. So today, the condition that arises is very beautiful. No wonder the weather is so beautiful too. The Dhamma is really wonderful.
Thank you.
You can continue if you want. Another 8 minutes.
Because this also I understand that a lot of things we thought that we can be controlled, but you actually can't control at all.
Because that is nature. Nature has its own nature.
You see, in our subconscious, we have been alive for so many, many lifetimes.
Existence.
All this rubbish actually in our subconscious.
It's not easy to clear.
Not easy to clear.
You must be in that meditative state to see.
When you are in the meditative state, it keep on releasing. It keep on releasing.
The unconscious and the subconscious, the trap phobia, the trap insecurity, the trap habitual tendency, all this they release. That's why sometimes you will experience certain type of very strange type of dream or mind state. It's actually the subconscious release. All these are from the past that has been accumulated. That's why they will keep on release until finally nothing. Everything go back to that nature, silent. It's very beautiful, but that one will take a long time, a long process. And you keep on moving through the transformation. So even the sleeping meditation, the awareness, when you go into many stages, a lot more things that one when people have the understanding. So now you start to see the subconscious release, the unconscious release. All these are very beautiful. This is part and parcel of the real cultivation. When a person really develops the cultivation, the brain transforms. That's how when the subconscious and the unconscious release, it's just like whatever threat, negativity or habitual tendency or whatever trap mind state over the eons and eons of birth and death of accumulation. When they start to release, you know what happened now? Your brain has order. it's no longer disorder. Then when it has order, it works very well. It works with the pure awareness very well. There is no more thing to obstruct or block. You remember last time I give you the analogy, which is very useful. It's like your brain, okay? Your brain is like your mind garden, your mind. Or maybe your altar. I like to use your altar. Yeah, last time I remember, I went to your Ubin Yusa. I saw your altar cluttered with a lot of things. Of course, there are beautiful flower offering, but too many things. Understand? So do you know when they have a lot of this thing on the table or on the mind state, can you move or not? There is no space, isn't it?
Yeah.
You cannot move, isn't it? Yeah. Here got something blocked, there got something blocked. And do you know in terms of the mundane mind and the brain, what are all these? These are all your habitual tendency, your belief system, your taboo. Understand? Your whatever they call tradition, belief and all those things. Oh, like the Penang Hokkien, you know. This one cannot do, that one cannot do. You married that time, must. So all this restrict your movement, understand or not? Oh,
yeah.
Like Chi Gui Pua, Besai Chuki, all this create fear, understand or not? So these are like something that prevent your mind from having the freedom to act, to move, and to understand. Well, all this create fear, worry, anxiety. And all these are negative mind states that clutter your mundane mind and make you heedless, really heedless. That's why when you meditate, you have space between thought, you can move. And the releasing of the subconscious and the unconscious, the threat, phobia, and all those things, is to give us space, understand? Give us order in the brain. Without this space and order, our pure awareness cannot actually work with the brain. So when your brain has space, then it is in order. When it's in order, it's very beautiful. That's why it can see things as they are. The memory, the conditioning, the views, the opinion, the subconscious release, happier, all gone. They don't come in and interfere anymore. That's why finally, when the vibration becomes so fine, the layer of consciousness collapses. The mundane mind that is very gross cannot stand up to the fine vibration of the pure mind collapse. That's how the true mind shines forth. Then the third hallmark of winning, the mind must have no dwelling, can surface. That one not easy. That one you need to take a while. The bodhisattva way, you need to cultivate until very, very stable. So all these are very beautiful. Sadhu to you, Miss Lee, for having the ability to at least touch all these things. Sadhu.
Thank you, Bratio.
Good afternoon, Bratio.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Thank you, Sui.
Yeah.
And thank you, Miss Lee, for nominating me.
Sadhu,
Actually, I have the feeling that what Miss Lee said, like what Brother Teo said just now, your mind become lighter. My mind, I feel that become lighter now. And I don't react so much to the phenomena around me. And just few days ago, when I was listening to, you know, the small radio that
Sui An prepare on
this thing happened after listening to it. I have been holding on to.
This is the boxer.
I have been holding on to a lot of my own views that this person is doing something wrong, that person is doing something
wrong. Your perceived reality within your own conditioning.
Yes,
yeah, this is what your mundane mind will do. They will accumulate and they will perceive it that way. Yeah, that is how you see things.
And that day, after I listening to one of the slots that brother talked, he is the way, just the way he is.
Ah, that one can help you.
Accept him for what he is. Yes. He is right, but according to him.
Yes.
So this understand just pop out from my heart area.
Sadhu.
After that, I'm a lot more calm and...
Yeah.
I feel
you are no longer agitated by that perception of what he is in the past.
Yes.
When you perceive a person with negativity, there is this emotion inside. You are not peaceful. You are not happy because there is this anger, envy, jealousy, or dislike. So these are evil root mind states that are more subtle and more fine. But most people cannot see. Actually, that is the evil root of aversion, dislike, envy, jealousy, and all those negativity of mind state. They are already there. But without mindfulness, most people are not able to be aware. And without mindfulness, you are not sensitive. Then they can still stay inside there as habitual tendency. That's why later on when conditioned, it surfaces again. But once you have this understanding, the yoniso manasikara means the wisdom at the moment of sensing, it will surface and prompt you. He is the way he is. Then you straighten your view, stabilize it until it finally cannot arise anymore. Then the way you perceive things differently, because you will have the ability to be different. Means you can see things as they are. Means when you see, it's just that thing. Without the interference of memory. Do you know your perceived reality through memory keep on coming out? That's why it's there. But when you see things as they are, without interference from memory, all these things disappear. That's how you transform. That's how you root out habitual tendency. That's how a cultivator becomes different. But you must have more and more stability or awareness to do this. The stability of awareness is very important. That one allows you to observe, see, and understand, and be sensitive. The subconscious release all you can feel them, you can know them. That's how you become different. Otherwise, it will take you quite a while. Eh? Based on what you went through, pharmacy is already starting to show better and better. But it is still not the ultimate Dhamma yet. The ultimate Dhamma need to be more stable. Your awareness nature not stable. Don't try to know. Don't try to understand or do anything. Just silent inside there. Maintain awareness. Stabilize it. Then daily mindfulness. Then sit more. The daily religious routine. Just do. Focus on the cultivation first. Once your cultivation stabilizes, don't be too eager to transform or to know. It will happen by itself. Be patient. Just like what some of the Kayamita has gone through, even Ms. Lee, Ocheng Neon, they are very patient. You have to be patient with the faith, sincere, persevere. Just do. Let the cultivation take off. Then when the cultivation take off, transform, that's how you understand. That understanding will become more stable, more reliable. So initially what you have developed is the contemplative one, which is not stable yet, but you have actually progressed slightly in the sense that it allows you to feel different, where you're no longer so agitated and feel so bad after you understand that statement, which is right view. Means he is the way he is, according to his condition. Deluded people do deluded things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. Selfish people do selfish things. So he is the way he is. So you know you are not accepting him for what he is. You are only seeing things as they are. I mean, he is the way he is. So you will have the understanding that enable you not to perceive him with negativity anymore. When you can accept him, means you are at peace with him. He is the way he is. So I can accept. I no need to react or do anything. That way I can accept, I'm at peace, I have clarity. Then I ask myself, how can I move? How can I act? How can I continue with my cultivation to stabilize all this understanding? That's why my advice is go back to the cultivation, stabilize the awareness nature, the daily mindfulness, until it becomes very stable. Then go into the first turning, second turning, third turning, contemplate, reflect. Then silence your mind. Focus on the cultivation. When your cultivation progress, you become very different. Okay? Pawasri, can follow.
Thank you, Radio.
So focus on cultivation. Do the silent mind, stabilize that. Don't try to know. The knowing, the understanding will come by itself. Be patient. Then it will unfold. You have the parami. You have the condition. Evoke power or merit, then let nature take its course. Don't allow the thought to be too eager to progress and to chase after progress and all those things. But that can turn out to be a hindrance. It is from the thought. Forget about it. Just develop the understanding and cultivate according to understanding. Cultivation is more important than having all this experience. If you cultivate, the real transformation will come. Like what you heard from Sister Lee, Po Cheng, Song, and many other people. So be patient. You have the parami. You and Brother Teo did a lot of good things. So they will come to fruition. Even Jin Hao also said he will progress. He will become different because of the faith and all those things. So remember my advice. It will help you. Okay?
Yes, thank you, Brother.
We have to stop. Let us rejoice. We all should rejoice with Miss Lee for the good sharing and also Pamansuri for her part in the sharing. Sadhu, 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 sadhu.
Brother Teo.
Sorry,
didn't Brother Teo, good evening to all.
Yeah.
就是 based on Pamasuri 刚才的分享, 我想分享一下我自己的 experience. It's just something like an add-on. So actually, based on 那个 statement, just accept him for what he is. 真的是不容易.
Yeah, 不容易. 你要 really have the understanding.
对，真的是不容易. Yeah. 因为这个是从我自己的 cultivation, 从我周边身边的人我所经历的，我知道，所以这一个，除非你真的是经历又经历又经历, 然后你去 contemplate, 你已经觉得, 哎呦，那个很苦, 你就好像 sort of like 你已经很疲倦了, 已经很那种这样子的, 然后你就 会知道哦，下一次他来 ，no, you know, it's like
对，他的那个过程是要一定的，你一定要经历的去把它，怎么样讲，就是身体力行，你就是一定要经历，然后你去
realize， 然后 otherwise 你是走不出来的，
yeah,
走不出来，对，这个就是我自己个人的 experience。 然后到最近我就看到就是你他们讲什么是他们讲，你就不会去 you know like 去 react you know
yeah.
你就是一直看着他们，你就因为你了解嘛，对对对，所以这个是我一点点的。Very good, very good.
Then I would like to add on a bit because I know quite a bit of history or background behind Alicia's personal life. For her, she has been through this life actually with a lot of ups and downs. When she was young, it was quite tough. And this one involved a lot of loved ones, sibling and all this thing, they are very close to her, then they have a lot of karmic past. So they have to confront all this. So that time before Alicia has the Dhamma, she has to go through all this. That's why she was in the state of depression for almost 15 to 16 years. And she came out of that through Dhamma. It's not easy. Then after she came out, all this that actually happened over the years that accumulated to what she is, do you know how intense that type of views and perception is because of what they have done to her life and the conditioning and all those things? And the mind that went through the cocoon of thought, state of mind that is very negative, that brings about depressive and oppressive, intrusive thought process that leads to the depression and all those things. And these are not easy to endure over so long. And luckily, because of the virtue and the affinity with Triple Gem, she managed to have the condition to meet up with my nature and develop the understanding. She attended the class, listened to the sharing, very attentive. Then she very determined with the faith. She determined to understand and learn. And she came out of it and gained back her life and become so different. After that, she become a blessing to all. Then she used to tell me last time, the sibling, they did all these things. So now with the understanding, she is able to actually become different and accept those reality. But I understand what she meant by she tried very hard. She said, you must go through to understand all this. Her case is very unique. For her case, to come out of that is not easy because it has been there for so long. It's not like normal people. You perceive somebody negative because of one incident in the past or certain thing happened that and no more. That one easier than like office colleague or in-law or whatever. That one easier. But the thing that she went through one is actually very traumatic. That's why I want to add that in to complement what she is trying to share with Kayan Mita. So this is what cultivator will go through. No matter how severe that depression or traumatic experience is for how many years, it can be rooted out. It can be understood. Like what Alicia went through. She described the thing is very beautiful. She can see the wrong thought. She can see the evil roots. They say, coming again. Through the back door, he said, I can recognize you. You are the one that made me depressed and suffer for so many years. And now, go. Gone. He will not arise that wrong thought anymore. But all these are negative wrong thought born of Sakkaya Ditti, self-delusion. Born of the evil roots. That's why she starts to see the beauty of right thought. The beauty of the Dhamma, then she starts to do things that is helpful, that can turn her mind around. She starts to pay attention to little things that can bring about goodness, that help people and all those things. That's why she went and do a lot of all those things, then develop virtue, gratitude, can earn, and of course, empathy and all those things. These are all the way or skillful means that she developed to her own understanding. And when she came out, she able to put it into words and explain to me. That's why I knew how she came out. And actually not easy, I can tell you. 16 years of depression. You think overnight by speaking Dhamma, you can understand. Not easy. But for her case, it's because of the condition, the faith. And she chased after my Dhamma tape. Now my sharing, you ask Sian, Sian will know, chasing after Sian for the tape to come out. So those are very beautiful sharing which Kayamita should actually cherish and develop gratitude that people are willing to share their experience so that other people can learn, so that other people can also have the faith that this is possible. So all this has actually developed into something very beautiful. Then initially, Alicia doesn't understand Dhamma, doesn't understand Buddhism, and doesn't have the even slightest inkling of what this teaching is. They don't even know what is Theravada and what is Mahayana. But later on, as she developed the conditioning, the understanding, the Dhamma, then a lot of things happened. How she has affinity with certain great beings, she also know. Especially Earth Star Bodhisattva, Ti Sang Wang Pusa. How the chanting come to her, how the vow come to her, all those things. Very strange. She was at, I remember she told me, at this Xuanhua's temple in Jalan Ampang. Zhiying Tong, is it? Or I forgot the name already. He sat in front of that great being's image without knowing that it's a star bodhisattva, Tisamamuza. Then the chanting just come, everything just happened. Then she feel funny. How come she can have all those things? Then he went and find out, they told him it's a star bodhisattva. That's why the image come, a lot of income, and her faith and all those things become different. So everyone is different. When you connect, your past will come back to you, your affinity, everything will come back to you. So this is the part I find very meaningful, very beautiful. So cultivation is not what you think. It can happen in various ways, just like what the Sutra of Infinite Meaning mentioned. Because sentient being and living being are so different, so varied, and you have to actually go through life to develop the clear understanding and exposure to Dhamma, and to have that extent of Dhamma understanding to understand all nature, all condition, and all capability of sentient beings. So all this are very beautiful Dhamma sharing. So with this, I think we shall end. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.